Once again, it is a great privilege to stand on the labors of a genuine man of God in the territory of Dundee. And the privilege is accepted with fear and trembling, as I trust the Lord to bring forth his mind in such clarity that Jesus would have done if he were here teaching us himself. Lord, we ask for mercy. Send us help from heaven. Cause your face to shine upon your people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen. So before we go into the lecture for tonight, I'd like to show us two things, then we'll go into the lecture. Pastor, thank you for that prayer session. I felt the oil. So we have the oil now. It's already here. I'd like to show you just one scripture, make a passing comment before we go into the lecture for the night. Hallelujah. There is a culture of worship that must be established among the people of God. The items that we use to achieve worship are things that have the capacity to speak. They are natural things that have the capacity to speak into the realm of the spirit. If you are going to establish your priesthood, you will need to know the workings of such things. And in the day of your trouble, in the day where you have to contend for the next space that you set your feet, your priesthood is going to be determined by the use of such items. So when you study your Bible from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelations, you want to know the kind of items that are so natural, they have vocabulary, and they can speak in the realm of the spirit. If you go to the book of Acts of the Apostles, I believe Cornelius is chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. You will notice that Cornelius was intercepted by an angelic personality in the cool of the day while he was in prayers. And the angel told him that thy prayers and thy arms have ascended unto God as a memorial. It means that, are you with me? His giving spoke yonder. You know, I was teaching in Glasgow and I made four comments. The first comment I made, because the subject I was teaching on was prophetic intercession, I said not every intercession is prophetic. The subject was the subject of prophetic intercession, and I said not every prayer is prophetic, not all prayer is intercession, not all intercession is prophetic, and not all intercession is prayer. There's an aspect of intercession that is not prayer. you can secure intervention apart from prayer. You can stand in the gap without praying. And one of the ways to achieve that is to know how to present unto God that which is due Him. If you are going to be a functional priest, this your volume is too high. Just do what you did yesterday. It's making me blind. I have been privileged by God to be taken to the room of music in the heavens. And I saw musical instruments, some of which I've never seen among men. I heard the sound that came from that place. If I come into a service like this and you produce something that is not there, I know. It was when I had that privilege that I discovered that sound was critical. Sound was critical. If you have ever studied your Bible, you'll find that musical instruments were fabricated on the framework of that angel called Lucifer. And when he moves, he produces sound. And that was the angel that doubled as a guardian angel. That means he was God's bodyguard. He protected the glory of God. He protected people from the glory and protected the glory from people. He was one of the cherubims whose similitude was captured in the Holy of Holies to be... Yes, you know there were two cherubims. One of them was Lucifer. So that's that. So sound is critical. Don't just come and stand. No. You are causing trouble. So this guy was in the place of prayer. Notice he was an unbeliever. But his utterances in prayer ascended into heaven. He was an unbeliever, but the alms that he gave, the seed he sold, he went to heaven as a memorial. And seeing that we belong to God, there was an economic transaction that took place in order to secure us, the payment of our bride price that made us married to God was the blood of Jesus. And if you know marriage at all, you will know that there are no property rights in marriage. So you cannot say in marriage that I'm the owner of this television and you write your name on it. So it means therefore that since you were purchased, God is your owner. That's what Adonai means. My owner. My master. The first quarrel that Isaiah had with the nation of Israel was that an ox knows its owner and an ass its master's crib, but Israel does not know and my people do not consider. And that's not smartness. See, loyalty to God is not a function of cerebral power. Because if you keep a goat at home for 1 month, tied, and then you release the goat will go and graze and come back in the evening. The goat understands that loyalty, he understands the concept of master. But Israel, they don't know what it means when I'm called the Adonai. If God is called the Adonai, it means that there are several things that are his due. You know, most of you grew up in Dundee. You have not seen idol worshippers. You have not seen them. The sense of duty that an idol worshipper sustains, he knows that, okay, these are the things he has, they gave him. He knows that all doesn't belong to him. Part of it belongs to the idol. And he dare not tamper with that part that belongs to the idol. If you study your Bible, that's not why I'm here. I would have shown you 7 things that belong to God. 7 things. Your problems will begin when you begin to tamper with those things, because they are not yours. It is spiritual theft. Anyone that is guilty of spiritual theft attracts the thief. You know, the identity of Satan in scripture is that he is a thief. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
So you will think that the duty of a spiritual thief is to steal. No. The duty of a spiritual thief is to kill. That's what he does. He takes away not to keep. He takes away to destroy. Have you read the Bible that says, the scripture that says, the thief cometh?
Yes.
That means the thief will come. And if we have the right of way in your domain, if you have behaved in his nature, especially if you have plumbed that God. So the first among the list of things that belong to God is your tithe. And I don't need to take you to the book of Malachi to give you a presentation of what the prophet said when he was bringing a rebuke to the nation of Israel. When you start getting involved in taking God's portion, you have signed up to become vulnerable. When you start getting involved in taking God's portion, it means that you have rejected worship, because one of the items with which you achieve worship are the things that is due to God. It's just because God is a God of mercy, and that's why we break the laws of God consciously, and the impact of non-compliance is not instant. Because it is so, people languish in trespass. But you see, if you do something wrong and judgment doesn't come upon you instantly, the reason is because that deception that you have in your heart is setting you up so that you can be completely snared in the day when the thief comes. 7 things that are his due. The first is the tithe. I don't owe God. I worship him with my substance and with the first fruit of my increase, so that my barns will be filled with plenty and my presses will burst forth with new wine. God is the covenant-keeping God, so when you fulfill your aspect, wait and see his faithfulness in your life. Many people come to church, but they trivialize God because they are not willing to align with the commandments that he gives. And just in case there is somebody in the congregation that is throwing scriptures at me and saying that the concept of tithing is Old Testament, you've not been studying your Bible. Nobody hates religion like me. Nobody. I hate it with passion. If you're a Bible student, you will know that the first time tithing was mentioned in the Bible was not under the dispensation of the law. Have you checked it? Tithing was a function of revelation. Abraham saw that he had to give Melchizedek his due. And the Bible says that he gave him the tithe of all. Many years later, his grandson, even Isaac, who was a rolling stone, he did not believe in the God of his fathers, had an encounter with the God of his fathers, and he made a vow that if God should sustain him for everything that he makes, he will give him a tenth. Then the law was not in force, and it was Melchizedek that Abraham encountered By the time you go to the book of Hebrews, you will discover that the priesthood that we are currently under in New Testament reality is the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. It will interest you to know that even in heaven, we'll still be paying tithes. If it is Melchizedek that receives them, then you are not relieved from that practice even in the afterlife. I don't want to go there. But the warning I want to bring to this congregation this evening before we begin to teach is, don't owe God. I believe it's clear enough. Okay, so we can begin. Many of you are owing God. And you come to sing to Him. You don't have any commitment to extend the frontiers of His kingdom. You were told that He's Father Christmas, moving around with a bag of goodies looking for where to domicile them. So you normally come to register your address so that he will never pass you by. That kind of thinking is the thinking of strangers that do not have any place in the house. And there must be a change in orientation if we are going to see the best of God. Darkness comes upon our land, comes upon our world. And the only possibility of light that there is compliance to the requirements of God. That is proof of the fact that we remain His people in spite of circumstances and situations. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, so that's an admonition. And I trust that such among us that have an ear will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. Okay, let's begin from Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. If you have a Bible, please turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Might also be necessary for you to go and study the other things that are due you to God. This is your due to present it to Him. One is your tithe. There are six others. That's a proof that it is at His altar that your worship is domiciled. When you give unto Him that which is His due. Alright. I believe you heard me. And that you will repent from refusing to pay your tithe. You will repent profusely and begin to obey the requirements of God. The former three tithes have I made. I don't know how it's pronounced in English language. Is it three teeth? Huh? Mark? It's three teeth. Okay, so one of my teachers, Bible instructors, normally calls it three tithes, so that's why I picked that one. So I have it. Since you have broad perspective, right? I change it right away. The former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach? You must have seen that this is an executive summary of the book of Luke, because the writer of the book of Acts of the Apostles happens to be Brother Luke, the physician, the doctor. So he spoke about the former three times. Because the book of Luke and the book of Acts is written to the same consumer, Theophilus the noble. And he said that the entire content of the book of Luke in executive summary entails all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Are you with me? It's needful for us to take inventory of this sequence that Jesus did first before he taught. So when we say Jesus began both to do and to teach, what exactly does Luke mean by doing? Doing. If you have ever read any of the Gospels, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, precisely the book of John, because the book of Matthew is the book of the kingdom. There is a Greek phrase that is translated the kingdom of the heavens. If I had a board, I would have written it out in pure Greek, and then you will see where the S, that in the Greek there is S, there's plural, but in English it is, there's no plural. But it reads the kingdom of the heavens. You'll find that phrase 33 times in the book of Matthew, suggesting that the book of Matthew is the book of the kingdom. The emphasis of the book of Matthew is the kingdom, and Jesus is seen in the book of Matthew as a king. The book of Mark is a book that captures the fulfillment of prophecy, because the Bible reveals that Jesus was given a body so that he could fulfill that which was written in the volume of the book. Jesus was not called to be creative. He was not called to be strategic. He was just called to fulfill that which was written concerning him. That's what Mark calls a slave, because he's not allowed to use his initiative, his own will, his own... So in the book of Mark, he's seen as a slave savior. Matthew, king savior. Mark, slave savior. Are you there? The name of Jesus in the book of Luke is Son of Man. Son of Man is a representative terminology that reveals that Jesus was the representative of the human race, and that which God wants to do with, that which God will do with him is that which he wants to do with the human race. He was the one that stood as a ransom for the entire human race, and the judgment that was supposed to come on humanity came upon him. He was the Son of Man. Just like a member of the House of Commons. Alright, so each member in that house represents a constituency. Is that so? Oh, you're not with me. Only pastors with me. Only pastors with me. So he comes to represent humankind. And everything that must be done to humankind must be done to him. So he was the Son of Man. That's a judicial status. It was still in the book of Luke that we have lost things. Lost things. The coin was lost. Did not know it was lost and could not do anything about it being lost. The sheep was lost. Knew it was lost. Could do nothing about it being lost. The son was lost, knew he was lost, and could do something about his being lost. And it was in the book of Luke that it was clear to us that God has capacity to save to the uttermost. Just in case you are lost, you don't even know that you are lost, you cannot do anything about your being lost. He has capacity as the Son of Man to do what? To save to the uttermost. Then the book of John is the book of life. The secret of Jesus, as captured from the book of John, is that he was in custody of the divine life. This is the way, the life of God. In him, the Bible says, was life, and that life was the light of men. It shined on men. If anything he does according to the empowerment that he got from that life. And when humankind looked upon him, he was a marvel to men. And the same light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend it till this day. And some of that light will shine tonight.
Yeah.
And darkness would not be able to comprehend. If you study the book of John, which is the book of life, then you will see that in the book of John, Jesus shows us the definition of sonship. Part of the reason why the book of John was written. So I just did all of those analyses that I did to show you that those books are not the same. The theme is not the same. The stories might be similar. The settings might be the same settings, but the angle of emphasis is different for each of the literature. Yeah, clear? Alright, so part of what you will learn, the book of John is the sonship of Jesus. In the manifestation of the sonship of Jesus, you will see that Jesus considered, stay with me, somebody stay with me. In the eyes of Jesus, his father was his life. Stay with me. So there was nothing that Jesus would do except that which he saw his father doing. Are you there? So the life of Jesus was his father. And because the life of Jesus was his father, oh, you don't know what I mean by the life of Jesus was his father. Okay. How many of you still remember this scripture in the book of John chapter 20 where Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So that scripture gives us an insight into how the Father sent Jesus. Because that was the same thing that he was mimicking that day. So before Jesus was dispatched from heaven, what the Father did to him was that he came to him and the Father breathed himself into him. Because that was what he did to the disciples. He breathed upon the disciples and said, receive me, the Holy Ghost. So it was Jesus that was released into the disciples as the Spirit. You understand that? Oh, you're not following me. That means Jesus is in us as the Spirit. And the same way the Father was his life, Jesus is our own life. So we are called to live him out, just like Jesus lived his Father out. And when they asked Jesus, show us the Father, he was depressed. He said, what? I've been living with you all this while. You are not aware of it. I suppressed my own preferences in order to put the Father on display in my vessel. It was the Father that was on display all along because the Father was his life. Do you understand that? That's the same way you are supposed to paralyze your own preferences in order for Christ to be on display in your vessel. That was the discovery that men like Apostle Paul made that made them say it was no longer I that live. So in order for him to achieve sonship, he had to operate seamlessly under the authority of his father. So if we start our presentation this evening by saying the former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The doing there means walking, operating under the authority of his father. That was a description of his life and his times. He walked in submission to his father. Did you get that? Okay. His teaching ministry drew his authority from his walking under his father's authority. So if you want a teaching ministry that is authoritative, as you are saying it, God is backing it up, then the teaching ministry must derive from a life of submission to Christ. So he had about 30 years of submission for 3 years of teaching ministry. So 1 decade of submission for 1 year of teaching. How is your own life? Do you have the foundation for teaching ministry? Because what you will be teaching will be a lie. If the requisite foundation that will make your teaching authoritative is not in view, your teaching is going to be a lie. And that's why God will not back it up. Things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The average believer is not here because they love God. The psychology of the average believer is that God has good things to deliver, to give, to bequeath. So there is not, even if people are winning toothpaste here, some people will want to take home. If the only thing you will win is toothpaste, because the idea is we are gaining, at least we are gaining something. So, we are gaining. So that's why they come. You will never get the best of God that way. Those that come because they want to serve His way, those that come because they have an understanding of the fact that He is the one that gives my life definition. For the Bible says that by Him are all things, and in Him does all things consist. It means He is the one, the essence behind our lives is the one that gives us purpose and definition. So if I want definition, if I want purpose, I cannot operate apart from Him. And the thing about operating in Him is a deliberate day-to-day yieldedness so that His will can be manifested through your vessel. That's what I mean. It's not a one-off encounter. You cried one day and said, "I'm yours, Jesus." No. You will say it every morning and you will mean it. You'll be waiting for Him to give you feedback on how to respond. Before I came here this evening, this is the scripture He gave me, Acts chapter 1. So what I'm saying is His will. It is Him saying it through me because He's the one that showed me what He wants to say. And it is every time I stand to preach the gospel, this is how I do it. If you want to delay me in counseling so that I will not go and pray, in order for me to know what to say in the evening, I will run away. Because I don't want to be in a situation where I'm the one running the show. It must be His will that I am actualizing, because it is in that context that I have relevance. Do you understand it? So quit this fake kind of Christianity and get involved. Find out what He wants you to do. And the moment you find out what He wants you to do, you pastor is relieved from appreciating you, saying, "Ah, well done." You don't need that. If you know from Jesus that this is my side, you don't need any human being to come and appreciate you. So if you are still doing something with the hope that pastor will pass, you are in the outer court. The light with which you see is sunlight. And sunlight can scorch sometimes, especially the one in Nigeria. You know what I'm talking about. But there are better ways of, better light that you need. Because if you come into the holy place, it's candlelight. And if you by any means pass into the Holy of Holies, it's Shekinah illumination. The enhancement that you have in your sight is based on the light that is available to you. You are still in the outer court. You don't understand that His blood was shed. That He had the option of living a full life. But He decided to collapse that life so that you could have a chance. All wise people decide not to live for themselves anymore, but to live for Him. That is their reasonable reciprocation of the kind of sacrifice that he made available in order for them to live in the presence of God. So Luke the doctor begins the presentation by saying, the former treatise. Treatise. It will take me some time, but I'll get there. See how powerful teaching is. My teacher made the mistake, and I carried it on with passion. No. I'm in the United Kingdom. This is where English was born. So I need to believe the English people. All right? So the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. May your doing surpass your teaching. Amen. May your life of obedience surpass your public displays. Amen. May there be a secret that is in your life that the public cannot see. Amen. It means you have something with God that is a secret. You have a secret with God. There's a secret covenant, a secret commitment. There's a secret vow that manages your presentation in the public space. For every year of teaching, there was a decade of obedience. And that was why his words were life transforming. At the moment you turn your Bible, flip it over to Matthew, you will know that men don't speak the way Jesus spoke. Men don't speak that way. For 1,000 years, illumination will come from those words. That wisdom was baked by obedience. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, so next verse. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, this is the initial layout of the apostolic school that Jesus put together to educate the functionaries that will be saddled with the responsibility of extending the frontiers of the kingdom of God. So what you are seeing here is an apostolic school. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Unfortunately, in order for you to be part of the educational seminar that Jesus wants to put in place, he will need to choose you. It's not so much that you desire to be there. He will choose who will be there. Are you there? I don't know what university you schooled in, but there was no time when your lecturer came and gave commandments to you people. Now, part of the requirements for you to be chosen to be part of this education is that you have brought your life to a point where Jesus can command you. I know many of us here, you cannot be commanded. Even your husband can't command you. You are by yourself. You are on your own. You are strong. That your strength is what has disqualified you in this matter. When the deep things of the kingdom, I hope you are not looking at your wife now or your husband. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. The reason why Jesus will choose is because in this kind of lecture, he gives commandments to people. If you study the book of Acts of the Apostles and you find out the encounter of Apostle Paul, there was an encounter, there was a vision that Apostle Paul never recovered from all his life. He told that vision 3 times in the Bible. He called it the heavenly vision. The heavenly vision of which he could not be disobedient. For he was obedient, he said, to the heavenly vision. It means that the commandments that came to him through that encounter, he lived in the light of them all the days of his life. Is there anything you are running with that you met 21 years ago, but the fervor of that which you encountered is still alive in you. If that's not the case, you are not likely to be chosen. You are likely to be ordinary as you walk this world. Oh, you have not seen it? In the book of Revelation, when Jesus comes to the churches, alright? He wasn't looking for the congregation. He was looking for the individual. And you will see the charge to the churches. He that overcometh, not them. Because as at that time, corruption had invaded the body of Christ. And now Jesus was calling to the individual and no longer to the congregation. So the best thing you can do for yourself is to know God for yourself now. For yourself. That's the best thing you can do. You don't need to visit my room to know if I pray. I'm not praying because there's somebody encouraging me, calling me, my mother calling me in the morning. Have you prayed today? I've gone beyond that. In fact, the last time my mother saw me, she sneaked into a meeting that I was preaching. And she saw miracles. Saw signs and wonders. Right there from the back. I didn't even know she was there. I was just enjoying the Holy Ghost. The next day in the morning, she calls and said, "My son, who taught you the Bible?" Because she, yes. Meanwhile, she was our Bible teacher when we were small. She was the one that would slap you and bring you for morning devotion. Who taught you the Bible? That as you were preaching, I was just seeing what you were saying. It was connecting many experiences. Hi! He doesn't know that the one I spoke of was the one that I was in active service to. The authority of my spoken ministry is derived from a deliberate decision to be in obedience to Him. You may not have guessed, Pastor, I was born in Samaria. Oh, I know you don't know that. I couldn't speak. I was next to dumb. I was almost dumb. The power by which I speak today came because of obedience to Jesus. He said, "I will not just give you the ability to speak, I'll give you utterance to drive heavy revelations from my table." You can say there's no God, but I see Him every day. And I don't just see Him as a friend, I see Him worthy to be served. My knee is bent perpetually to serve His will. Until the day in which He was taken up. Yes? Where are you? After that, through the Holy Ghost, He had given commandments unto the disciples whom He had chosen. Can you imagine Jesus? Jesus did not even give commandments to the apostles by Himself. He gave the commandments through the Holy Ghost. Because the Father was in Him as the Spirit. So He had to yield to the Spirit so that the Father would be the one giving the commandments. He was just a vessel. He had no preferences. His preference was to do exactly what the Father wanted. That was the life He molded. Meanwhile, the Bible revealed to us that He had His own will. He had His own will because when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed about, He said, "You are a God of ways. Is it possible? Because I know there's no end to your wisdom. You can achieve redemption through any channel. So if it is possible, can we do away with this cup?" So you will see that He had His will all along. But the reason why we did not see His will was because it was perpetually surrendered to the will of His Father. And even though He expressed Himself, he concluded the presentation by saying, "Not my will." Oh my God. Can you think of the kind of energy that was needed for Him to always be submitted? Oh, you have not considered how rebellious you are yet. You have not considered. You have not. Some of you are quiet, but rebels, quiet rebels. They won't talk, but they will never obey. They will never. Your quietness is not a sign of spirituality. It's actually an accumulation of generational flesh. Flesh just bound together. Sorry, I'm not a pastor. Pastor Rufus is a pastor. He knows how to speak kindly, carefully. I'm an apostle. I fight darkness anywhere I see it. So my words may not be very polite. I'm a good man, I assure you. I'm good. But my words are not as textured as his words. He's a more experienced minister and a pastor by calling. I am not a pastor. Started casting out devils in the woods. I grew raw. And I'm not too refined. I know that. If you don't mind getting burnt a little, then you can bring me on the scene. Because I move with loads of fire. Yeah, the scene in your heart, I will knock it until it surrenders. Jesus must germinate from that space. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I get close to you, I afflict you with prayer. So much prayer. You can't escape prayer until your flesh yields, because your flesh doesn't like prayer. We need to develop an affliction for your flesh to yield. Then your spirit will have the experience of mounting up with wings. Like Deus. You can stand on Zion, stand on the Holy Mount. What Lucifer coveted, you can walk in that reality. So after that, he had given commandments through the Holy Ghost unto the apostles that he had chosen. Okay. Next verse tells us the first qualification that you must have in order for you to be admitted into the education. Because Jesus noticed that his disciples lacked capacity, the capacity that was needed in order for them to be enterprising functionaries. So what this was about was that he set out some time, in fact the time was a 40-day interval, where he could bring education to his functionaries so that he can equip them for the work that was ahead. But you see, even though the conference was free, you need to qualify to attend. And the first qualification is in verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive. So in order for you to be admitted into the apostolic lectures, you must have seen the living Jesus. You see, there's no need for you to begin to educate someone that has no encounter with the living Jesus. It will look like theory to him. And the way he presented himself as the living Jesus was not true doctrine. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion, after his suffering. How did he do it? By many infallible proofs. Because God knows that you have your doubts about him. He knows that you will not naturally believe him. He knows that you're not natural, that your brain was the brain you used to get your PhD in engineering. So you know how to ask questions. It is the living Jesus that comes to suck out all your questions and show you that there's a reality beyond the curiosity of your mind. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We see the theme of the conference is what? The kingdom. Oh, you're not following. You're not following. So, because you're not following, we'll cut this scripture off. And then maybe I will take a simpler scripture. Maybe John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I do that a lot. When I notice my congregation is out of sync, let's leave that. You don't need it. When you have labored enough in the wilderness, maybe when you cry there, God will look for a way to send you that insight. So the theme that Jesus sustained for 40 days of education was not prosperity. It was not how to have a bigger pocket, a bigger bank account in Barclays Bank. It was about the kingdom of God. And if you notice, it was the kingdom that God was offering Adam in the Garden of Eden. It was a kingdom that Adam lost. It was not Adam's fault that God lost in Eden. Hallelujah. Pastor, it seems you are in agreement with me, seriously. What God lost was not his fault. Adam was supposed to be an important fragment of God's dominion system. He was on top of the ladder because he was going to be the instrumentality by which God's dominion was going to be beamed into the earth. So in this physical frame of reference, Adam was going to be the first entity on the ladder in the visible world. Are you there? But you see, by reason of engineering, if I take you into the Hebrew words that were used in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 in creation, you will find out that in the engineering of the physical world, it was made to be a derivative of the invisible world. So if you are operational in the, maybe you are the zenith of the visible creation, you are still subject to him who is the zenith of the invisible creation. Do you get that? So man is actually supposed to be the God of this realm. But you see, we are not a conclusive authority. According to the book of Psalms 82, the Bible says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High God. You see, we derive our authority by submitting to the ultimate authority. The more we submit to the ultimate authority, the more of authority we operate, and we can achieve the dominion mandate, where everything that operates in any realm and any dimension whatsoever is aligned to the authority that is the ultimate authority in the heavens, so that everything will speak God, everything. No loose end. And that's why rebellion is a critical matter in this arrangement. Now, I don't want to trouble you with, since you're already, you are not ready to take so much. I would have taken you to the book of Ephesians and shown you the vision of the eternal purpose, how God walks from eternity into time, and some of the currencies that God put in place, set in motion, to ensure that his intentions come to pass in time. That even though there is rebellion in one age, in one generation, in one life, it doesn't affect the ultimate plan of God. If I show you that picture, you will see that it's the privilege to be in God's service, a great honor that he gave unto us, a privilege that you should cleave unto with passion. Because when you are outside of this realm and you go into the realm of transition, it is the investment you have made in the window of time that will determine your status in the other realm. That was what the early Christians knew, that they were not afraid to die. Because they knew that the ultimate blessing came on a man that was willing to pay the ultimate price for his love. And there that are wise, the Bible says, they shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. You will see some people shining like this, the light of the sun. Wonder, where did you get this glory? They were wise. They were wise. And they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever. Some will shine like the stars. Some will shine. You know, when the day is about to break, the other day I slept and 4:57, it was already daylight. I thought I was in heaven. I was not briefed. And Dennis was not close by for me to, because I saw the brightness of the firmaments. That's how some people look like. Not glory in the firmament. That's how I want to be. That if you take me and put me in utter darkness, I will overwhelm it. Because there are so many volumes of light in me. That doesn't come by wishing. It comes because I find the truth, and that my worth in the days to come is the extent to which I'm spent to serve His will. So that is my preoccupation from now henceforth, until I draw my last breath. And before I do, I will make it public 5 years before my exit from this world that I'm going. There was no one that was in active service for Jesus. Read it in the Bible, read. That never knew that his time of departure had come. They all had the privilege to speak about it. Because it's not a rescue strategy, it's a red carpet reception. So the object, the theme of the education was pertaining to the things concerning the kingdom of God. So these guys were going to be saddled with the responsibility of extending the influence of Christ in the earth. I need to show you a scripture. Maybe we'll go to the book of Ephesians. I need to show you that parable. It's a parable. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, I led the prayer on Friday night, and I said, when you find him, make him king. Yeah. Make him king. Allow him rule. Yes. Even though you have your own opinions, you have your preferences, let them be weak before him. Be willing to let them go so that he can reign. Be willing. That is a proof that you are part of his church. Because he's the head of his church. And just in case he's not the head over you, you need to ask yourself where you are. Because he's the head of his own church. And it is his church, he said, he will build. Are you there? There's a conflict. Allow him win. Lose for him. Lose for him. I wanted to be a lecturer. To be a professor in as fast as possible. Professor of chemistry. So that I'm one of the motivations of wanting to be a professor of chemistry is to walk into the class with my left hand in my pocket. And because I have an ability to cram, I can cram. And cram 270 something pages in my brain. So I just put the notes here. And come like this. And then give you notes. And then when I come, I say, where do you stop? And you tell me, I say, okay. I start giving you structures, give you diagrams, give you this. From my head, I say, wow. That's what I wanted to earn from. Glory. And then I went for prayer, and the Lord said, of all the things written concerning you, there was no one that said you'll be a lecturer. Then I presented a case to him. It will be a lecturer to your glory. You know, we know how to we know how to manipulate it. Say, it is not written. It is not written. It was not written in the studio. You'll be in rebellion if you try to do it in time. Also, I died because it was a dream. It was. My cerebral powers were developed as a very little baby. So all my cousins have hoped that the professor of the family was coming. And when I started out in school, I was not bad. It's just that I couldn't speak, but the brain was good. The mouth was not good, but the brain, good. And I wanted to maximize it. And Jesus now comes and says, it's not part of your life. My cousins were disappointed for long. And I was wondering what Jesus was doing. He now gave me the Bible and said, this is the book you were supposed to use the intelligence to know. So I was in the cave for many years. And his spirit taught me. These my cousins I'm talking about are not Christians. They are Muslims. Because my mom comes from a Muslim family. As I speak to you today, many of them are not just born again, but they are called, they are preaching Jesus. Yeah. So I was wondering, if I ended up becoming a lecturer, how would that have impacted? I came to tell you that no matter what your ambition you have been sustaining in your heart to achieve with your life, there is nothing as powerful as what God has in mind to achieve through your vessel. It doesn't matter how many people have hurt you. If you are going to walk with God, you need to let it go. Because, oh my. So I came to a point where no one could discourage me. Because I came into full understanding of the fact that my destiny is between me and God. Satan was not consulted before my ordinations were set in motion. Situations and circumstances were not consulted. What is critical to my life is God and God only. So what someone says by the side, it's not my business. You know, as a corrective teacher, my enemies are many. You must have known that. When I stand on the pulpit and I say, war against immorality, many people will send me messages. Are you righteous? All kinds of they say, oh my God, who is this guy? No, I don't worry about that. Because I know the one that called me. I know the one that sent me. He's the only one I kneel for. And I can kneel there for hours until he shows up. But when I stand up, I know his will. And it doesn't matter if death is on the other side. I will do that will till I die. My wife is aware of this. She's aware of the fact that if part of what I'm called to do is to die for Jesus, she knows that her husband will not think twice about it. She knows. She knows it. So the lecture was about the kingdom. So the first two questions I need to ask you before I show you one matter that was discussed in that seminar. Just one matter. Then I'll round up. This time is not friendly. Jesus Christ. And I don't take 1 second more than the time given to me. Because I'm a man set on my authority, and the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. Order must be learned from the house of God, because we are the ground and the pillar of truth. Society should come to the church and learn order. Because the King of Kings has found his abode among us. His government and the symptoms of his influence over our lives should be evidence to all. First thing I need to ask you is, if Jesus had only 40 days and the thing he was willing to spend those 40 days talking about was just the kingdom of God. You know, there are many teachings that we teach about prosperity, we teach about breakthrough, we teach about all of that. Well, Jesus had 40 days. And the only matter he could discuss was the kingdom of God. How God will reign. How God will rule. how his influence will be extended. How his glory will be made manifest. That was the subject of discussion for 40 days. The Bible says that he was seen of them 40 days. You know, I told you that this by appointments. Huh? Because at this time he already had his spiritual body. He was seen of them. So he appeared in their midst. And he continues to talk about what? The kingdom of God. The reign of God. I need to digress a little and then let you know what the kingdom of God is. Kingdom. Because when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are talking about the reign of God. We're talking about a sphere, a realm where God can is at liberty to exercise authority. The kingdom of God was what was offered Adam in the Garden of Eden. That he was going to come under the ruling influence of God. And when he comes under the ruling influence of God, God can use him as a tool to extend his influence upon the face of the earth. When God comes to conquer among men, the soil he conquers is your heart, not your brain. He conquers your heart. And when that heart of yours that is now saved realizes that within her is a king, are you there? And is willing to submit to the authority of that king, that is what makes you powerful. As long as you do not consider that the Holy Spirit is worthy to be obeyed, he will never be powerful in your vessel. Never. So you need to put up a shadow of the practice of obedience. Yeah? So my time of transition is coming. I just have 3 more minutes. So increase that volume a little. Practice of obedience. You wake up in the morning and tell God, God, thank you again. I woke up today. And what I want to do today is to serve your will. I want to obey. And you pray about it. And you step up. The first day you pray that prayer, you are going to insult almost everybody you find in the bus station, in the office. Your husband, you insult your husband. Because the devil is going to manifest the flesh in you so much. Because he's so afraid any time a believer begins to desire to obey God. He doesn't mind that you are a believer and you are disobedient. You don't pay your tithes. God is not honorable in your sight. You are just a rolling stone. He likes you that. In fact, you work for him. He has borrowed you. But the moment you pray that prayer, the flesh is going to break loose. You might find that in the 27 years of your marriage, you have not pointed your husband in the face. That week, you point him and say, do you still remember the name of my father? When you are done with that day, after all the flaws that you may find, and I assure you will find so many flaws, come back, repent. And the next morning, ask him again, I want to obey you. You must make obedience a project, a project, a project. When you pray that prayer and you begin to study the Bible, suddenly you will find the Holy Spirit will guide your hands to scriptures that you have neglected. Then you begin to try to achieve alignment. You will know that you were living a life of rebellion previously. So you are not concerned if the kingdom of God expands or not. You are not concerned if your children are aligned with God or not. Your own work is to ensure that you have children. And if you don't have, pastor is going to suffer. But now that you have, nobody knows who owns those children. Because they are on pornography, they are on this, they are on that. They are already, Satan has been doing over time on them. They belong more to Satan, but they have Christian names. John, Francis. Obedience. The third day you wake up. Say, Lord, I want to serve you. Continue for 3 months. Continue for 9 months. Because you were in the womb for 9 months. You can change your life in 9 months. The moment you start obeying God in His word and the whispers that come from His spirit, then you will know that God doesn't need to speak loud for you to understand Him. No. He will register His displeasure quietly. And only a heart that is ready to obey Him can perceive it. Then He will tell you to go and confess to your husband. To go and just kneel before Him. Then you say, we are not God. He said, go there. So there were things that were in you. He just let you because you are not willing. So now that you are willing, you will now dig up those things. I said, you go, apologize here, say this here, cry here. Yeah. So I was in that cave where I yielded to be in alignment. Oh my God. That was when I discovered how much God wants to be in charge. Then I knew what the scripture meant when it says that God is a jealous God. Oh, you give yourself to other things. You to Premier League, Champions League. You are jumping everywhere. But he wants that time. But you didn't know. And there's nothing wrong, sinful about being hooked on Premier League. I played soccer myself. I wore the number 10 jersey. Then I realized I could only use my right. And I knew I would not go far in this business. So I came up. I could only use the right leg. Left leg was paralyzed, was dead. I couldn't move it. Even if I desired, it would just be dead. So I knew I can't prosper on the field with this kind of deficiency. When I began to go deep in Him, you know the first thing He said I should stop? Stop watching football. What? What's wrong with football? He will never answer. I think you say you want to obey me. For you, I am. So, till today, I have not been able to find what football would have done to me. Because I obeyed. Do you understand that? And that's not for you. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you my own dealings with God. And it's not a doctrine. Oh, you're not with me. It's not a doctrine. Just telling you how God dealt with me. For you, He might allow you to watch football. But not for me. Do you understand that? Obeying Him. Say, leave football away. Leave it alone. So I left it. I died, but I left it. And then gradually He began to take away the desire for football away. He took it. Began to suck it out. And now, I don't even like football. Somebody said, come, the best players are on the field. I was sick. Then I knew God had wrought a miracle on my heart. We were in Manchester the other day, and they said they had a match. And I didn't desire to be in Etihad Stadium. God had walked a walk. You need to know me about football, man. He took it away. And there are many things He will take away from your life. And only those that are willing to make Him king can submit to that extent. When He has achieved what He wants to achieve, then He makes you His messenger. He puts things on your life that money cannot buy. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. The second thing He emphasized was that I should never ignore my wife. That is me. Maybe not you, but me. Don't ignore. That was when I discovered that if I had disharmony, because it is possible for me to survive with disharmony. It's possible. Yes. When I was born, my mom was sick. So even as an infant, I was left alone. So I grew up like that. So the easiest thing for me is to be alone. I have that wiring. And as a single, it was a strength. Because you cannot make me feel bad. You cannot make me feel depressed. You cannot say something that will affect me. No. If I turn my face, it's torn. And I got by with that for a long time. Huh? Then when I started following him, he said that your strength is a weakness. Jesus Christ. I lived on that strength for long. I made gains with it. So I had to teach my wife how to pray. Teach her. The moment I put small effort, she began to grow in the Lord so fast. And sometimes my eyes will not see, her own way. You see, I didn't know that a great ministry partner will come out of that effort. After a while, I started seeing the rhythm of what God wanted to achieve in my life. Then I knew. So if I didn't make up my mind to be obedient to God, all of these possibilities will be shut out. If you have not yet become deliberate about obedience and you have made what you call advancement, try to align. And you will see that there is something greater than what you have achieved currently that God wants to accomplish through your life if you can be sensitive to Him. Are you there? There is nothing that He cannot give you. Nothing. Nothing. And tonight, if only you could say, Adonai, there will be nothing that He will not make happen here today. Adonai, Master. Master. So I now discovered how God intended that we will live. That we will live in obedience to His will. If we are going to extend the frontiers of His kingdom, we must make Him king. For 40 days He spake about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Did you get it? And let me show you just one item out of how many items? Seven items. Just one item that was he discussed in the lecture. Are you there with me? And that is Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And he shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is the first one of the items he discussed in the lecture. And what he's saying is that without power, we cannot do kingdom business. Without power, we are going to be limited. Without power, we can't colonize our neighborhood. It doesn't matter who likes us or who hates us. If we have power, the people that like us and people that hate us will come. They will come to Jesus. In order for us to be enterprising marketers of Jesus, we would need to be equipped with a utensil called power. And listen, you see, the power is going to have a source. The source of that power is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And if you are a student of the Old Testament, you will know that no king reigns if he's not anointed. So the moment an anointing comes upon your life, it means that there's a territory in view for you to exert your influence. And that's why you will see things like Jerusalem, like Judea, like Samaria, and like the uttermost part of the earth. For every anointing that is present here, there is a territory that God is raising you to govern, to influence. Anointing and territory cannot be separated. And just in case you have not seen the territory for your anointing, it means you have not been listening. Yes. I was in the cave, in the place of prayer. When God told me, Africa will hear you. I said, oh, from this village? How is that possible? Then it came to pass. I just finished an event in Malawi. 31 deaf people began to hear. 5 crippled people began to walk. How many blind people began to see. In fact, after that service, the police had to arrest me. You know why? Because the crowd left the congregation to come and devour the preacher. They believe I had miracles on me, that if they touched me, they would be healed. So the police had to intervene to arrest me out of the place. And when we escaped to my hotel room, for another 3 hours, the people refused to leave the place. My chair, the place I sat, became miracle chair. They took it and they formed a long line. So you have a moment to sit on the seat. And 3 hours after we have gone, miracles were still breaking out in the place. In fact, a woman came and sat on the seat and began to prophesy. And they were recording the prophecy. I was long gone from the place. When it was about 12 midnight, the pastors on the ground called and said, bring that Nigerian man again. Bring him now. Bring him now. Bring him. So they came. They didn't know how to convince me, how to ask me to come. So I said, what? Okay, let's go, let's go. That's how we came to the place. Everywhere was filled up. Sick people had come from Zambia. Do you know there's something we call wheelbarrow in Nigeria? What do they call it here? Wheelbarrow. All right. So there were sick people in the wheelbarrow from Zambia. That's 2 days and a half walk. There were like people that were raised from the dead. I saw sicknesses of all kinds. Diseases that had no names. People, chains breaking, people coming out of the place. I didn't know it was forbidden for you to say witchcraft in that village. Witchcraft. Because the witches had warned the pastors and said, you hold your crusade, but don't mention Nyao, Nyao. That's the name, that's witchcraft. In that, may the Lord help you in Jesus. Don't mention what? Nyao. If you mention Nyao, you will have yourself to blame. So I was preaching. I was preaching and I had an interpreter. When I talk, he will talk. When I talk, he will talk. Then I say, hey! I shouted. He also shouted. Then I saw a vision. I saw a vision of a red python. I noticed my interpreter didn't interpret that. I thought he didn't hear what I said. I told him, I said, I saw red python. He didn't. The name of the local court was the red python in their language. That's another word you cannot mention. Red python. So I now said I won't preach again until this man mentions red python. The man escaped. So the pastor that invited me now came and took the mic and said, this man said red python. But I didn't know. This man, this very man here. This one, he came from Nigeria. He said red python. The moment he mentioned red python, 13 ladies in the court. You know, I thought people were possessed in Nigeria. It's a mild case of possession. It's not really. Jesus Christ. 13 ladies stood up, tore their clothes, became naked, and were coming to kill me. When I look back, Lagos was far from where I was. Lagos Airport was far away. I was the only Nigerian in the village, and it was the thick village. That was the day I told God, if you don't leave, you have to be here. You must come here. I cried out to the Lord quietly. By this time, the interpreter had gone. By this time, even the pastor had escaped somehow. I was alone. And they were coming. They were coming. You know what the Holy Ghost told me? Don't allow them finish that trip. That means, as they are coming, go and meet them. So me, I jumped from the pulpit and I began to run to meet them. They were running. The congregation just gave us. May I learn that from the our ancestors. Our ancestors in the faith. He said, when the devil is coming, don't allow him to finish the trick. I didn't know what I was wanting to go and do. But I just followed. That's how we were trained. Alright? And I got there. When I got there, the first lady that was so violent, she was already speaking. It's not, I didn't know what she was saying. She was already speaking blasphemies. As she got close to me, the power knocked her off. She fell off here. This one fell off here. And then started vomiting living organisms, living things. Living things. The miracles that took place did not attract the government. It was when I stopped Nyao. Seven delegates from the headquarters, from government, came to go and bring that man that stopped the power of Nyao. Oh, my body was shaking like this. 4 hours. 4 hours. 4 hours. 4 hours. It took me about 2 hours before the anointing left me. That was a night that things took place. Witches were humble. They cried. Even the senior witch escaped from the ground. Yes, the senior witch escaped. Then I said, God, when I went, because I've never seen that before, I went back to God and said, what's happening? He said, that's what I want to do through you. I said, me? You chose me? Then I discovered that his plan was better than mine. I remember in the long way, before I went into the bush, I saw a man, an intellectual, who doesn't believe in the Lord. So he said, he showed me an x-ray. I said, this is what the doctor say, that there's my muscles are torn on my back. I said, okay, thank you. I touched him on his back. I said, Lord, can you heal his back? Thank you. Then I left him. Went to the village to preach. You know, he doesn't believe God. So he went to the X-ray people again and said, dude. But before I came back 7 days, the X-ray revealed that he had a new muscle on that place. So he was waiting for me to give his life to Christ. I didn't need to preach long. No need to preach long. In fact, he very influential. He gathered people, his relatives. My driver was driving me to the airport. And he said, Pastor, your flight is by 11 and this is 7 o'clock. Can we visit my in-laws? I went there. When I came to the place, I saw his father-in-law was deaf. Was deaf in this ear. And hearing here was almost gone. So if you want to speak to him, you shout. I said, why are you disrespecting this man like this? They can't hear. Oh my God. His mother-in-law was crippled. So I put my fingers in the man's ear and told him that Jesus was going to heal. As I was still telling him Jesus was going to heal you, he began to hear. He was 69 and he became deaf at the age of 9. He stood up and began to dance. This woman here could not walk. I was wondering why the woman didn't stand up to dance with the husband. Then I realized her legs were crippled. Then I laid my hands on her. I said, Jesus makes you whole. I said it 3 times. Then I dragged her from that seat. And the pain was excruciating. She shouted for the pain. But before the shout ended, she started walking. Started walking. Her son came out of one of the doors and said in his heart, hey, these fake prophets have come again. I heard it like this, like as if a human being spoke to me. So you call me a fake prophet? He wanted to deny. The power of God came upon him. He was slain till I left. He was on the ground. The driver now drove me crying to the airport. The military people at the airport arrested me because the driver was crying. And the moment they arrested me, the man cried him out. Cried him out. After he had gained ventilation by crying, he now went to tell them that if you ever see Jesus, this is how he would look like. And told them the testimonies. I had to lead the military people to Christ. That was how I entered into the plane. They were all crying. I left them crying. And I've not gone back since. God can do the impossible through your life. There's nothing special about any human being. What is special is about the one that dwells in your heart. For the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Can you make a prayer this evening and say, I will serve you, I will serve you, I will serve you, I will serve your will. It is my destiny to serve your will. Nothing else will take my attention. I live for you. I live to serve you. Make this moment count. Make it 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 count. Siako Baba Malaite. Oseke Bokoria Basika Branta. Mezozaliko Bresko Filaito. Abresko Falamande Kido Boboziale. He wants to conscript you to serve his will, to do that which pleases him. He wants to put his spirit upon you. There is a change that he intends to bring through your life. Make this moment count. We will honor you all of our days. We will praise you. We will be available for you to send. We receive the impartation of your hand upon us. The impartation of your spirit. We receive the blessings of your spirit to equip us, to empower us. Now we understand what it means to serve your will, cross our heart, to be humble in subjection, to be humble in submission to your will. In the name of Jesus, we want nothing more. We want nothing more than that which will satisfy you. Kebo samakadia bahaselimoku. Isto bose selaita. Baratos ken poveni kambesi. Isto bala mantaya. Isto brede. E kambani da kosta babaila kopreskita banta bahoya. Oh my God. Oh my God. Make commitments to him. Ask him for grace to serve him. For grace to stand before him. Every morning and every evening. In petition, in supplication, in intercession, that his hand might be strong upon your life. This is that time. This is that time that we have been waiting for. This is that season. He wants to make a mighty woman out of you. A woman of God. A woman that can stand to make up the hedge. A woman that can stand to be in the cup. There is an ordination on your life. There is an ordination that God wants to actualize. Grace is given unto you.
I am dying, I yield, I surrender to your will for my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Is Kantelia, is Kababonte Kesa Salabunda, Abrakata Babonte Tanya, Igabaraka Branta Babonte, A seminar. Oh, we give you glory. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Can you ask him for grace to stand before him in the morning and in the night? Stand before him. To make supplication, to make intercession. That grace. To incline your ear before him in the morning time, in the evening time. Ask him for grace. There is a restoration that is going on here right now. The restoration has begun. The restoration begins here. Yes, God is replacing things. He's replacing things. Ask him for grace. Oh my God, there is a restoration that is taking place. Oh my God, anointings that people lost, they are being restored this moment. There's a freshness, there's a renewal taking place. Holy Lord! Yield to him. For a little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a strong nation. Though thy beginning be small, thy later end shall greatly increase. So be thy compala. And for sake of bread, it can find your schedule of condemn a life. Estos amigos frasquen la paz de cuya babalán. Examinándole, esto fresco, fila babalaita, en como rotos y con fresca vida. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God is returning to Scotland. There's an ancient heritage in the land that the Lord will uncover in the days to come.
You can use the man.
Abrande caso de naigo sana bota e semina cobre esta palabo e que reza male e que reza male da curia si da prenda cose sa se la bota naia dai la zote nai convento rojo sante tali. A bolia para costa sila ai capoma e que deixa de assai loma a caina nada babosse sa de monte que dá a caina certo fresco para a bona a caina mamarosque da brisca da lamaia e que deixa mar.
In Jesus' name.
So it's time for prayer. Just leave that leg. Leave that leg. Thank you, David. Just leave. It's time for prayer. Leave. Because your daughter now, remove the hearing aid. Follow the instructions. I'll give you care.
His finger, right? Put it in the ear that is deaf and close it completely, right? And that applies to your child or anybody. Where is mommy? Are you doing what I'm saying? Okay. If you are blind or you need glasses to see, take off your glasses. Lay your hands on your eyes. You are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, just put your hand on your stomach. Have you been diagnosed cancerous? Locate where the cancer is, put your hand there. Is there pain or paralysis on your limbs? Put your hand where the pain is. Oh my. Do you have someone sick and the person could not be in this meeting? I'll give you a moment. Call the person now. The person can be in Lagos, in Los Angeles, in Lusaka, Zambia. Call the person now. Keep the phone running while I pray, so that we can. The number here cannot exhaust the healing anointing that is. So we can extend it. Thank God for the internet, and for those of you that are following online, you are a part of what is going on here. Make sure you connect. All right. I give you 2 minutes to make the call. Tell them there's a young man that believes that Jesus still heals today. And he wants to pray, and that they should be attentive to the prayer. And they are mirrored. Oh, Jesus, the healing has already started. Just started. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every pain in Jesus' name. I arrest the spirit of deafness. Deafness, spirit, be bound. Be bound. Be bound. In Jesus' mighty name. Blinding spirits, be bound. Be bound. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that cancer. I command it to dry, to die. In the name of Jesus.
Let the pain go. Let the growth on your body dissolve.
Let your womb be open in the name of Jesus. Be open in the name of Jesus.
So I command that pain to go. I'm seeing someone's spinal cord. There's this pain that you have been having from on your back. I command that pain to go. Let it fall off. Fall off from the back in the name of Jesus Christ.
I command the blinding spirit to come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. Deafness spirits come out of the ears in the name of Jesus.
Asthma, hear my voice. I break your yoke. I defeat you by the power that is in the blood of Jesus. And I command you, come out of their chest in the name of Jesus.
Now the healing oil flows. Everyone that is connected through the phone, through the internet, through our online platforms, I send the healing power of God your way this moment in the name of Jesus Christ.
Now I say to the ears,
ears,
hear.
I say to the eyes,
eyes, see.
I command that paralysis go in the name of Jesus. And I command the bones to come together, bone to bone, bone to bone, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Here in the name of Jesus.
How long have you worn this, and why have you been wearing this?
UK in 2019, and I stopped seeing, and I've been wearing it since 2019.
If what's the condition that you've been wearing it?
I can't see far, and when I look at any object, it's always blurry.
So what's your experience now?
I don't see with the glasses again. I can see the projectors.
You can see the projectors and the glasses. Somebody needs to celebrate Jesus. It is permanent in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it's permanent. Yes, what happened to you?
I have
disc. What's this? Spinal cord. Okay.
So, believe in it already. So as you said, we should be an announcement. I really like this.
The praise was gone. For how long were you in that condition? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We thank you. Oh yes, it is permanent. Yes, what happened to you?
Where I carry the patient.
You are a medical person? Okay.
Having this thing, I was telling my husband I've been taking paracetamol. I said it's not going right there. I was still feeling the pain, but when you said we should check, I suddenly realized.
Okay, she just realized that the pain has gone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Someone needs to contact one of the people you called on the phone because God has healed that person. We need to contact the person now, so that we can get the feedback. Someone has been healed. Oh my God. So I have 10 minutes. So we'll invest this 10 minutes for this lady. Was she born this way? She was born this way. Okay. So can you please be seated? If you can. There are 5 other miracles that the people have refused to respond to share their testimony. There are 5 miracles. Congregation. But this is a very serious case, and I would like us to turn our attention to this lady. She was born deaf. Surprisingly, she can speak. So, what we have to deal with now is a deafening situation. Amen. So, the first thing we'll do is, you stretch your hand in that direction. What's her name? It's so long. What's the short one? So, she's called Ife. Can you pronounce her? Luke. Okay. Luke. Okay, Love. She's called Love. Alright. So, we are praying for Love, and we're asking, Lord, open her ears. Can we do that? Just for 1 minute, for 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Let's run a check before we pray. Did you hear that? So the 2 ears are dead. Now we'll ask the Lord, open. So put your hands in her ears. Block it completely. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you. Now I arrest every spirit of deafness. You have no right to remain in those ears. I present the blood of Jesus. And I command you, loose your hold from the ears. Come out of the ears. Come out of the ears in the name of Jesus. Let your yoke break. Yes, I say I come with the blood. I come by the blood. And I demand that your yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. Now I release the healing oil. If there is any damage on the eardrum, anything that is damaged, I ask, oh God, let it be fixed, let it be repaired in the name of Jesus. I speak to your ears. Hear. 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 In the name of Jesus. So remove your hand. Let's test it. Yeah, test this one. Doctor. I have 4 minutes. We are going to pray again. My scope lamina ya kambola. Sheflo prosketa mina cabelo pregede la shabalanto. Shabalanto siko brasketo kumbe laita kumbe sabalakwa papa basateli. Ento bereke se, ento bereke se sastiko, bamaito kubrela. Adua babaratos keto breko bandalika santoria. Mala bokoria siko preskante bina handuru bosokaye. Maiko skato baiko seto branda babokotani. Iko sabina itele. Rababonde heska iko babina hosakaye. Oh yes. In the name of Jesus. All right, try again, test again. Because from what I see, one of our ears has opened. That's what I see. Okay. So we will, one of our ears must open before we share the grace to you. Because I've seen it. One has opened. One ear has opened. One ear has opened. I know that from the Lord. Sit with her so that she can hear with what? No, she. It, even before I leave, it will be very loud. I say I stop that one ear. One ear open. So sit with her. Keep talking into that ear. Keep talking. So we'll speak in tongues for, I have 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. Anything the Lord tells me, I will tell you. Jesus Christ. I can't hear you. I can't. Oh my God. Estoparatos. 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 Sai con pela minde e presco fala basuria. Mento pigasatoria passante. Yakabanda baboche campresco vilata cubala tua famina capresco da badai. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Is somebody in this congregation? You are a prophetic vessel, but the insights that the Lord will give you will come through dreams. And as I speak to you, the anointing that will infect that dream. Rest upon you. It rests upon you. Rest upon you. Rest upon you. So my time is up. If she can't hear clearly, still bring her to the office to meet me. Before I leave, she must hear clearly. Okay. Alright, so we'll speak in tongues just for a moment. What I hear, I will tell you. What I hear, I will tell you. Now, listen, those of you on this row, what I will do is I'll just touch you like this. Just a little. Just touch you like this. I'll touch you like this. Touch you like this. I'll touch you again like this. Touch you like this. Alright, so my hand is still on one of you. My hand is still on one of you. So the anointing will begin to build. To begin to build. To begin to build. Begin to increase. Yeah, oh my God, it's increasing. My hand is still on someone. It will increase. The grace will increase. The anointing will increase. It will multiply. It will multiply. It will multiply. It will multiply. And God, through that investment that has come over your life, will begin to, oh my God, it's even stronger. It's even stronger right now. It is stronger. It is stronger. There's an impartation of the grace of God. There's an impartation of the grace of God. There's an impartation of the grace of God. It's an impartation. There's an impartation. The hand of God is even strong. So don't be afraid to pray for the sick. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Healing is on that hand. In the name of Jesus. Somebody is just receiving the gift of prophecy. And it will become intensified. It will be intensified. It will be intensified. It will be intensified. So you bring her to the office so that we can stop that out.